Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, where we feature community conversations around South Central Alaska. Join us on Alaska Public Media as we travel throughout our community and listen to local groups discuss what matters to them. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ammon Swenson. Today's program features an Anchorage Mayoral Candidate Forum presented by Alaska Children's Trust. The forum includes Mayor Dave Bronson, Suzanne LaFrance, Bill Popp, and Chris Tuck. The forum is moderated by Alaska Children's Trust President and CEO Trevor Storrs. This was recorded on Wednesday, March 6th, and was live streamed to Facebook and YouTube. Today's program was edited for length, cutting short the submitted questions segment. The full video of the event is available on the Addressing Alaskans page on alaskapublic.org. And a couple of quick notes. Bill Popp is a former chair for Alaska Public Media's board of directors, and there is the occasional time when Mike seemed to cut out for just a short moment. ACT's Trevor Storrs speaks next.
Tonight, our focus will be on the most valuable resource Anchorage has, our children and youth. They are often overlooked when we discuss policy and how we shape the future of our community because they don't vote. They are like political orphans. Tonight, we're going to change that by lending our voice to ensure issues impacting them are not overlooked. With us tonight, in alphabetical order, are current mayor of Anchorage, Dave Bronson, who has served our community for the past 3 years. Suzanne LaFrance, who served on the Anchorage Assembly from 2017 through 23. Bill Popp, who served as president and CEO for the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation for over a decade. And Chris Tuck, who served as a member of the Anchorage School Board and as a member of the Alaska House of Representatives for over a decade. There will be 3 rounds of questions. The first round will consist of policy questions we have developed with our partners and at the Children's Trust. Each candidate will have 1.5 minutes to answer. The next round will actually be candidate-to-candidate questions, where each candidate will have an opportunity to ask one question to a randomly assigned candidate. And then we close it out with our final round, and that will be audience questions. All right. For round one, our timekeeper will show cards with time warnings at halftime, 15 seconds left, and then a final bell at the end. Each candidate must finish their answer within 10 seconds after the bell rings. And lastly, we expect everyone participating tonight in person or online to treat the candidates and fellow audience members with respect and civility. Any inappropriate comments or behavior will not be tolerated. All right. Candidates drew numbers to determine their order, and the first question will be going to Suzanne. So we will follow in order. Question one. As longstanding community leaders, share an achievement that you take pride in that has broadened access to the knowledge, skills, supports, and resources for Anchorage children and families need to thrive. Suzanne?
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you for having us here tonight. Those are some very sobering statistics. I served 2 terms on the Anchorage Assembly, and during that time, I had the opportunity to work on initiatives that were good for children and good for families. For example, the alcohol tax funds, as you know, prevention programs and early childhood education programs. I was also a proud champion and co-sponsor of Proposition 14, a voter-approved initiative that dedicated the cannabis tax revenues to advancing pre-K and childcare. And that's a tremendous opportunity in our community. And it's one, too, where as I talk to folks about the issues with childcare, and we all know childcare is a huge barrier to economic viability for families and to businesses as well. There's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm about how we're going to be investing this money in our community. I was also a proud sponsor of the parental leave benefit for municipal employees. And I'm excited about the conversations, too, that has generated in our community. As mayor, I'll be a champion for children and families. I think what's good for kids is good for all of us.
Fantastic. Chris.
Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity to present tonight. Good long list of people that are endorsing this. So thank you to everybody. I served in Alaska State Legislature for 14 years. Prior to that, I served as treasurer of Anchorage School District, So throughout my my career as a public servant, I've done everything I can for public education. Most recently, I would say the Alaska Reads Act. I'm very proud of that. I introduced the bill. That was a long haul. A lot of maneuvering had to take place to make that happen. And fortunately, the Anchorage School District now has part of their foundation formula, a base student allocation increase in that because of that, because they're taking advantage of the pre-K programs that we have in that Alaska Reads Act. A child first needs to learn to read before they can read to learn. And then not just in an English language, but in any language, because once they are proficient to read in a language, then they can learn so many other languages after that. So that's one of the things I've done most recently that I'm proud of. I'm also proud of, as a freshman in the Alaska State Legislature, when they said there was no way a minority member was going to pass a major piece of legislation, getting the Parents as Teachers program started. And we've already had it in 16 communities here in Alaska, but we are able to expand it further because that's a cheap way of providing pre-K. It also helps because once parents get involved in your children's education early, then they have they're involved all the way through, and that's a key component to a learning success.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Trevor, and thank you to the Trust for doing this. Right now, in the arena of education, right now, 74% of third graders are not reading proficient. 76% of eighth graders are not math proficient. That's a challenge. We rank 49th in the country in fourth grade reading and math. Anchorage is within that state, is about the middle of the stack, with Skagway, being a far smaller and less wealthy city, is doing much better than us. In the area of education, we can do much better. That's why when I came into office, my wife and I, we raised our kids in the Luzak Library. It was a bit of a sanctuary for us. It was a great learning place for us. And when I came into office, the library was providing homeless services. I didn't think that was a good fit. So we removed those homeless services because it attracts a population that, quite frankly, doesn't create a healthy environment for our young moms and our kids. It was no longer a sanctuary. So I pulled that out and put it in the health department where I think it belongs. Our libraries are critical to our educational process, and that's why here a couple weeks ago I announced that we're going to put a new library in downtown at the old City Hall. We're pretty excited about that. So again, you got to create the environment for learning, because learning is how we move forward. We've got a lot better to do, a lot more to do.
Thank you. Bill.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here tonight, and thank you so much for holding this forum on this important topic of how we're going to be securing a future for our kids of all ages. My efforts began actually on the Kenai Peninsula Borough when I was serving on the borough for about almost 6 years. It was school budget time every year, and my vote and role on the assembly was being an advocate for making sure that our schools, in terms of the municipal share in the budget that was approved, was very much in support of kids and their needs in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. But here in Anchorage, in my role at Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, my organization has been an advocate, and I've led the advocacy for the alcohol tax and the dedicated funds that are helping kids in our community, the marijuana tax, and the funds that are helping with the issues of child care and those particular issues. But more recently, I've also been a board member and organizing member of the 90% by 2020 initiative, being one of the business representatives on that particular effort, and did that for several years also, that had a broad range of impacts for educational purposes. And then more recently, I've been a very significant advocate for the Academies program, the Academies of Anchorage initiative that is now being launched this coming fall. It's going to be a very significant change to the educational system in Anchorage, not only at the high school level, where it's going to be launched initially in the freshman year, but in middle school and down even into the grade school, and the way the curriculum is taught. It's going to empower our kids to have a much brighter future.
Great. Thanks. Thank you all. And you're sticking to the time. Well done. Appreciate that. All right. We'll start with Chris and work our way around. So the next question is, the Anchorage Health Department budget is less than 2% of the overall city budget, and public safety is over 20%. Given that disparity, again, health department is like primary prevention, safety is tertiary. Given that disparity and what we've learned about the importance of local health department's role in upstream primary prevention, What would you do to address the lack of investment? Chris?
Thank you. As you mentioned at the beginning of this program, that we have a lot of pre-screening going on, which is excellent, because the sooner that we can catch a learning disability or a physical disability or a health problem, the better successes we have in treatment down the road. And so that's going to be key, is making sure that we do have screenings for our children. One of the things I was working on at the state legislature is Denali Kid Care, expanding Denali Kid Care, making sure that those services are provided for not just the families who are in the poverty level, but for those who reach above the poverty level that still need to get health care, that they can have an opportunity to buy into that. At the local level here at the municipality, we need to make more investments in that area. There's more that we can do. I'm very proud of the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Clinic that we got in. I really think they should be called the Senator Johnny Ellis Health Center, because he worked so hard to make that happen. I'm glad to have been a part of that. But healthcare is a huge need that we have. We pay the highest in the world up here in Alaska as a result of that. Once we make those investments, we'll see those returns on those investments. We need more people in the healthcare system, not less, because bang for the buck, economies of scale. But at the municipality level, we need to free up resources. We got to get control of our homeless populations, because that's taking up a lot of resources. Once we get a handle on that, we'll have more resources that we can bring towards our medical health centers.
Right. Thank you. Dave.
Well, a question, maybe your assumption there. I believe we have to prioritize our needs. I think public safety is number one. It's also very labor and capital intensive. That's why that differential there. We are short about 7 nurses in public health, and those are like that key component. But we have added services here. Last year, we're doing, in the interest of tracking and getting an early warning on diseases, my administration administered or began a program where we're testing, believe it or not, sewage around the city in various places. So we can find out regions of the city through sewage if we've got viruses coming up or other illnesses, cholera or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's a big addition, and that program is run through Dr. Savitt, and he's been pushing that for almost 2 years. Great program. But again, public safety is the priority. For me, and then you have to prioritize. And public safety or public health through our health department, I think, falls right below that level. We are 46 police officers short right now, 3 supervisors, 43 rank and file, and that's critical for us. And to suggest that we need to somehow transfer money from one to the other, I that's incredibly problematic, and I couldn't support that. I think we can do both, and we can certainly do better.
Thank you. Bill?
You know, public health services are a key element of helping our lower-income populations to a very significant degree. And I think that this is where we start to come up short with some of our citizens who are in much more significant need of those services. It is a tough budget question, and it is a challenge. And I don't know that it's necessarily a binary public safety versus health department. I think that there are other elements of the budget that can be looked at and to seek new allocations that may benefit this, but we're likely going to be just chipping around the edges on that. I think where we have the opportunity to deliver a significant higher level of services is, where can we identify partnerships that currently don't exist? How can we leverage the resources of other entities, whether they're in government or in the private sector, that can be brought to bear in partnership with our existing health department once we get it fully staffed up, which we should be doing very quickly, and making sure that we've got an alliance of effort in this, not just solely focusing on our own single health department alone. I'd like to see it expanded. I would look for opportunities to expand the health department, but I also think that there is a second front that we need to look at in terms of better leveraging other resources to bring together the totality of resources that we need to do a better job for all of our citizens in Anchorage.
Thank you. Suzanne.
Thank you, Trevor. You know, I think this one really starts with the basics. And by that, I mean staffing up to be able to provide the services that are already in the budget. And the health department has hit a vacancy level of 40% at times. And there isn't a director. There's been an acting director now, I think, for over a year. And so the health department has really shifted from a big part of its mission of prevention and public health and outreach to just, you know, contracting to certain essential services. And in the past, the health department, I know, and, you know, has provided well baby clinics and vaccination clinics, and they haven't been able to do some of those activities at full strength. And so, again, it really starts with staffing up to ensure that we can fulfill that mission of public health and outreach, and then also growing that pie of resources. There are opportunities for grants, too, for program funding that can leverage existing taxpayer dollars, and we need to be going after those monies. But we can't right now because the municipality is understaffed, and that is impacting the ability to provide these essential services.
Right. Thank you all. Dave, you're going to kick off the third question. We're seeing a nationwide increase in book banning in municipality and school libraries, including in Alaska. Proponents of book banning claim it is needed to protect children and youth from inappropriate content. Opponents of book banning claim it limits access to diverse perspectives. As mayor, how would you approach decisions related to banning certain materials in the Anchorage library system?
The only banning that I've heard about in the Anchorage library system is, and it's older. We used to ban Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer, those kinds of things. As far as I know, right now there's no banning going on of any kind in the municipal library system. But at the end of the day, the question is appropriate or inappropriate content. We determine that through our laws. I know a few months ago the Attorney General came out with a decision on what is appropriate and what is inappropriate according to state law. I think this is governed by state law and certainly municipal code, but I would ask the question, is everything, just because it's in a book, is it appropriate for children? Is it appropriate for teens? Is it appropriate for adults? Well, adults get to determine for themselves. But we go through a lot of efforts in our society on protecting children. I would ask, is everything appropriate? And it's probably not. I mean, would we put I don't know if it still exists, but a Hustler magazine and think that's, okay, let's go to the extreme. Is a Hustler magazine appropriate in the children's section of a public library? I think we'd all agree it's not. So is there anything else that's similar to Hustler that shouldn't be there? I think we have to have a big public discussion. But our librarians are not the sole arbiters of public policy and what children should and should not see.
Right. Thank you. And just for clarity of the question, we are not suggesting there is any question banning. We've seen a trend that's happening both in our state and nationally of this conversation. So if it came up, do want for the public to know we don't believe there is any, but there's the potential. So just curious of your perspective. Bill?
Well, I still think the question is germane given the times that we're living in and the media stories that we're seeing nationally of these related to this question. And I think, you know, speaking of media, there was a absolutely significantly appropriate story told on 60 Minutes just this last week about a community in Alabama that was facing a concerted effort by a small minority of citizens to ban 97 books within their community. Well, this community had a very carefully structured set of processes to determine age appropriateness. And in the face of this onslaught of demands for banning books by a small group of individuals, they went ahead and formed a group of people that represented over 120 citizens from the community, read all the books, and then put them up to the standards that had already been adopted by the city through a community process, through a legislative process, through a rigorous process with the community. And by the time they got done, they suggested the two books were inappropriate for where they were and they were taken off the shelves. That's the kind of process that we need in place. This solves all of this hypothetical and brings in a set of structures and well-thought-out processes so that if there is a question that arises where an administrative decision was made to place a book in a particular section in the library and a parent really feels strongly that that doesn't fit the needs of a child in their age group that has got access to that book, then there is where the rubber hits the road, where we've got the process already in place that's very robust.
Right. Thank you. Suzanne.
Thanks, Trevor. Well, I got to say, as a mom of three, I get very excited when I see a book in the hands of any of my kids. And so, honestly, you know, my focus is on how do we get kids to read more and how do we ensure they have the skills to read. It is important that kids have access to age-appropriate materials. And I think right now there's a lot of fear about ideas. And one of the ways, too, that we can protect kids and make them more resilient is to provide them with educational environments where they can process and talk about complicated ideas, ideas that will impact them. And again, you know, it needs to be age appropriate, and that's where having professional librarians, professional educators, and parents too in that discussion is really important. And it is important to have clear processes because we're not always going to agree, and people need to know that there is a way that we address these difficult issues that they can rely on that will be fair, and that ultimately we are all focused on ensuring that we prepare our kids in the best way possible to live in this complicated world.
Thank you. Chris.
Thank you. Well, this is a trend that's going on in Lower 48. The fact that it's not happening up here lets me know that people are happy with the way that things are going right now. As was mentioned, we do want to make sure that our books are age appropriate. We also want to make sure that we have libraries access to anyone and everyone. And, you know, reading expands our horizon. It's knowledge. It's the reason why our libraries are free in the first place. But I think we need to go one step further. As we have libraries that are free to the public, during the school year, if you have a library card, I think we should open up our museum to also be free to the public. Go ahead and charge as much as you want during the tourism industry, but that's part of expanding our horizons. Learning about other cultures, and art really uplifts mankind, just as reading does. And Ray Bradbury had written a lot, the author, about the dangers of book banning. And it's a fictional, he writes fiction materials, but more futuristic, scientific type of material. But it shows you the dangers of how society will be shaped if you do not have books available for people, because again, it does expand horizons, it creates creativity, and it helps us solve the problems of the world.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'm going to start with you, Bill, for question number 4. 32% of Anchorage children live in poverty, as you saw. Inequities like this in our communities increase stress on families, both economically and socially. What are your strategies for ensuring all Anchorage children and families have access to what they need to thrive?
It's a big challenge.
It is.
We've been fighting this issue for decades, and it never seems to improve as much as we all want it to improve. And it's about having an economy that is full of opportunity, which right now we've got jobs going wanting, and so there's obviously a disconnect with some of these children living in poverty where parents are unable to achieve economic success, and we've got to start addressing that issue in terms of language skills, English as a second language, the issues related to workforce training, the issues related to just the simple issues of what they are dealing with in their own lives economically, the cost of housing and its disproportionate impact on their ability to put food on the table. And we have to start addressing those issues through trying to adjust our housing situation in Anchorage. None of these things are easy. And you have to persevere, and you have to carry it on administration after administration. Because mayors are only there for 6 years. And this is and assembly members have the blessing of being there for 9 years, or the curse, depends on their point of view. But these are small periods of time in an issue that really has been with us for decades and will likely be with us for decades to come. And we've got to do a better job of concentrating our focus on those key fundamentals that help to make those families more successful and thereby help those children to rise out of that level of poverty that they are currently suffering from.
Thank you. Suzanne.
It's really expensive to live here, and that can be really hard on families. Two areas that would be a focus of mine as mayor: housing, ensuring that we have a pro-housing culture in the municipality, cutting red tape, bringing municipal assets to the table to engage in more public-private partnerships. Like Minneapolis, they invested in public-private partnerships and increased the number of housing units, and that brought the cost down. Second thing is childcare. Again, we've got great opportunity to pursue with Proposition 14, and I'm excited about that moving forward so that we can really work to make childcare more affordable, quality childcare more affordable to families. And then I would say, you know, schools, public schools are such a connection and sometimes a place, the only place where some students can rest, go to the nurse's office, have a full meal. And it's so important that we invest in our schools. And as mayor, I will be a strong voice to bring people together and advocate on behalf of our schools, because they can do so much good to provide support to families and also ensure that kids have access to those basics.
All right. Thank you. Chris.
Thank you. Well, we need to have a growing, healthy economy, one that just doesn't benefit the few, but uplifts and benefits everybody. And a key to a strong economy is a great education system. And when you look at the social economic situations that people are in, the one thing that gives parity and gives equal opportunity for our children is pre-K. And that's why I'm so proud of the efforts that I've done on pre-K and making sure that we have that. It's also why it's very important to have the Parents as Teachers program. When a parent is working really hard just to provide for their families, it's very difficult for parents to stay involved. But one of the unique features of Parents as Teachers is it doesn't have to be the parent. It can be a grandparent. It can be an uncle. It can be a neighbor and helping out. And that's how we build stronger communities, is we all help one another out. But once you get involved in that child's education, boom, that's a key component, is parental involvement, which makes it very difficult with hard economic times that we're experiencing right now. And, you know, what we see right now is we see a declining economy here in Anchorage. At the same time, our homeless populations are growing. You can kind of, they're inversely proportional to one another. So you can determine the health of your city just based on those two factors right there. And another key to a strong economy to help all families is making sure that we have the infrastructure in place, because government does have a role in our economic future.
Thank you. Dave.
Yeah, Chris is right. Government does have a role, but to what degree? We need, and Susanna's right as well, is that housing is a big part of this because of the cost. The cost of living is incredibly high here, and quite frankly, a lot of the West Coast cities have the exact same problem that we do. And I think it's because of a lot of it is the challenges comes from government spending. We spend way too much. And we spend on the wrong things. Again, it comes to, I think, the first question, priorities, the second question, the 20% versus 2%. We have to spend on those things that are essential for us, which is public safety and then public health and then roads and maintenance. And we have people that are being taxed out of their homes, elderly people, and they can't. There's no condos to move in because we have no capacity for housing, and that adds to our homeless challenge. And we ask why it grows. In part, it grows because we spend too much. In the 36 months ending in 2022, municipal government spent $161 million through SAP on homelessness, and it didn't get better. And that was before I got here. Part of that was before I got here. We're spending on the wrong things, and we're making things, the environment is getting worse. Bill's right, the environment is getting worse here, and the problem is getting bigger because we're not spending correctly and we're not doing the right things.
Right, thank you. All right, we're done a full circle, and we're going to go to the next. Back to you. So our next question, we hear a lot about mental health needs for our school-aged children and teens. The state of Alaska has structured investments in statewide mental health, but local investment is needed to address these needs. State and federal funding for families has decreased over the last decade. How will you champion local? So we're not talking state, mm-hmm. we're not talking federal. What is the role, or how do you champion mm-hmm. local investment in children and families around mental health?
Yeah, and these last few years, we've really seen the need for mental health supports increase, especially among our youth. And we have a source of revenue to invest in our community through the alcohol tax. And I think that that holds tremendous opportunity because there are areas of it focused on prevention and positive programs for youth that can provide supports like mental health. And so as mayor, I will be focused on ensuring that we are making those investments and that the alcohol tax funds are distributed in a fair way, in a timely way. That's been an issue, and it goes back to my point, too, about we got to do the basics right. We got to have a fully staffed up municipality so that we can have, you know, the health department fully functioning, not just in providing the key programs that I, you know, talked about earlier, but also having a role in investing this money in our community. And I see it as an opportunity to convene local stakeholders and really take a look so that we are pursuing, I know you said local, but there is a role for our municipality to pursue federal and state grants here, which is what we have to do, which we can't do if we are not doing the basics right and staffed up. So again, goes back to the basics, good investments in the alcohol tax, and look for those other opportunities and work together on getting them.
Thank you. Chris.
Thank you. So social emotional learning is also a big component of our education system. I'm proud that the state legislature worked on those issues in making sure that the resources were there. More resources are needed. It's really difficult for a child to learn if they don't feel safe. And oftentimes they don't feel safe in their neighborhood. Sometimes they don't even feel safe in their home. And so as we talked about earlier, pre-screening helps us find not only some physical and learning disabilities that a child may have, but also gives us a little indication of what may be going on socially and emotionally so that we can address those as well. Again, the sooner that we address that, the better successes that we have with them. But it's ongoing. And I'm glad that we have counseling sessions that we have at the school level. But as you pointed out, resources need to be more delivered. And to do that, we actually got to be delivering better services for our students. There's a lot of efficiencies that still need to be addressed, and there's more things that we can be more effective in delivering education. Of course, the Alaska Reads Act, we're hoping that that plays a huge role in making sure that we are more efficient in delivering, because if you're doing a lot of resources on remediation, then it's hard to have available resources for the social-emotional learning component of their learning career.
Right. Thank you. Dave?
Well, it kind of ties together. A key component of this success would have to be the public school system, I believe. We have the resources, we have the buildings, but right now there are 55 elementary schools. Right now they hold about 27,000 students. And by 2028, that's going to be about down to about 13. So we're spending our money on buildings, and we're not spending it in the classroom. When I stay in the classroom, not just teachers' pay, and I believe, I've said this for years, coming from a family of teachers, that teachers should be some of the highest paid people in our society and not some of the lowest. They're the lowest now. They can't afford the housing. They don't come up here. We can't recruit enough teachers. Guess what? If we had fewer school buildings and we could spend more money on mental health within the classroom with face-to-face professionals dealing with the children that need that extra little bit of help. Government has a place in this. The public school system is government. There's not necessarily a marketplace solution on this. Government has to be involved. Is it always the health department? No, it's not, because they're not everywhere. The public school system is everywhere. So if we spend better, spend correctly, spend smarter, I think we're going to do far better in this problem that you mentioned. I think should be dealt with much better through the school system.
Thank you. Bill?
Well, none of us as mayor are going to have much of a say in directly in how the school system works. We have one function as mayor, and that's not to veto the budget as far as the school district's budget. Otherwise, it's advocacy, and it's bringing the community together on these topics. You know, Suzanne's right. I think that the alcohol tax is a great tool. It's a good start. But I don't necessarily hold either to the premise of the question, because I think that we have more to expect from our partners in the state and the federal government in funding for these services, in particular the state. The state has not adjusted their funding for mental health services in nearly over half a decade. And I think there's been a little bit of inflation that the rest of us have been feeling that has basically created a budget cut for all intents and purposes, even though they haven't cut the actual number. And I think that that's something that the mayor should be out there talking to the community about and advocating for in Juneau, is that those services do need to be adjusted. They are long overdue for being adjusted. And it's all hands on deck for this issue. You know, COVID laid bare a lot of frustrations and a lot of challenges in our community, but it also laid bare this creation of this kind of a surge in mental health services needs. And we have a long way to go before we're going to get past that. And we need to get going on it now. And I think that there is significant more resources that need to be brought to bear in the mental health services field, both from the state, from the municipality to the degree that we can do it, as well as the federal government.
All right. Well, thank you all. Round one is done. Thank you all. That was great to hear all your perspectives and so forth. So we are going to get into our next round. So now we move to the candidate-to-candidate questions. Candidates drew the names to determine who they would ask a question to. There's 30 seconds to ask the question and 1 minute to answer your question. If time permits, the questioner may respond to the answer, and we'll adjust because we are a little bit ahead of schedule, so we'll allow a little bit of that. I know at the beginning I said no, but hey, I get to make changes, right? So, so the first is... Dave, you get to ask Bill a question.
Okay. I drew the A, right.
You drew the A.
Bill, I appreciate all you've done over the years at ADC. Great work there, a lot of good data. Been to all, every luncheon that I can remember that you've hosted. In that regard, in this notion of populating the PCNs, the permanent positions that we have, in particular public safety, that's APD, in this regard, what would you do to recruit and retain and fill the deficit of over 46 officers right now?
Okay. That's a great question. And, you know, this is the philosophy that I'm going to be bringing to the overall issues of personnel. I'm going to make sure that we've got the right professionals leading the organization. I'm not casting any aspersions on current professionals, but I want to make sure that we've got the best people leading the organizations that have that ability to inspire and lead their team and bring about a elevation of morale. I also am looking at the ideas of working very closely with the unions to identify mutually supportive strategies for recruitment. What can we do together to do a better job of recruiting? And making sure that the benefits are in line and that the, and in particular, looking at the defined pension plan that's before the state, I think that that's something that I am definitely for, and I think that's an asset that the mayor should be advocating for, as in terms of the mix that we need to be able to attract the best and the brightest to fill those vacant positions within APD. And another element to this, too, is that I'm not necessarily satisfied with the current budgeted level for APD, and I would want to have a conversation about, do we need additional staffing to achieve the needs that the community expects from our police department?
Thank you. All right, Chris, you get to ask Suzanne a question.
Thank you. Suzanne, you've been serving as an assembly for 6 years. When you first began running, you did a television interview where you were asked, how would you give the city, what grade would you give the city on how they're dealing with homelessness? At that time, you gave them a B+. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of resources come into the state, $160 million over the last 3 years. What grade would you give the assembly and the city today on how we've been handling the homeless situation?
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I just want to be clear, too, that my term, I served 2 terms on the assembly, and it ended in April, and I haven't been on since almost a year now. Hard to believe. What grade would I give the city, the mayor, and the assembly combined? Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I would say that on the one hand, as I reflect on changes since I first started to serve, when I came on, you know, how we talked about homelessness was different. And I would say that that's one thing that has changed in a positive way, that the conversation and the ability to talk about the complexities and see the issue in that way, I think is a step forward. The infrastructure that I think Dave referred to with the investment of the COVID money that, you know, converted hotels to housing, right, was a building out of important infrastructure. But on the other hand, oh, I forgot this part was timed. I'll give it a D.
They're always timed.
They're always timed.
Always timed. I wish I could give you 24 hours, but I don't think you want to spend that much time with me.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I thought for some reason
no worries.
That was...
All is good. All right, but back to you, Suzanne.
Okay.
If you could ask Dave a question.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. So, Dave, I believe that the mayor has a role to play in education, bringing in stakeholders and speaking in a loud voice to Juneau, to the state, to ensure that our schools are funded. Families rely on good schools, and it's a big reason why people want to live here or don't want to live here. Why haven't you been a stronger voice in advocating for our schools?
Well, one thing, as Bill said, is our job when it comes to the public school system is to either approve in the springtime, either approve or disapprove of the budget. I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'll yield a second. Are we talking about advocating for an increase in the BSA? Is that what you're asking for?
I'm talking about, you know, doing the things to make our schools strong, advocating for an increase in the BSA, forward funding, inflation proofing, mm-hmm. ensuring teachers can retire with dignity, all those things.
Right. I do my role running the city mm-hmm. as it comes to budgeting for the and approval of the budget. The state funding, that's a legislative process, mm-hmm. and Chris has said
Correct.
He's been involved in that for a long time. I don't need to run the legislature. I need to run the city. Mm-hmm. And it's been challenging doing that with a lot of opposition. But when the time comes, we'll advocate for the right thing once the legislature comes up with plans that we can choose from. I'm not here to sit there and say blanket, yeah, increase the BSA to whatever, 1,400 or 380, I think the two brackets are. When they come up with a plan, I'm not going to get into their, until that, I'm not going to get into their business.
All right. And it goes to Bill. Ask Chris.
Chris, what do you think are the most important things that a mayor should be doing in terms of his role as chief advocate for the city?
Well, chief advocate is basically talking about how important it is for a community to come together to solve the problems that Anchorage faces, how we can all play a role, how we can participate and share in the successes that we have by coming together. I have my ideas and my vision for Anchorage, but if I make it my ideas and not our ideas, then we've lost an opportunity for more participation, people getting involved. And oftentimes, you'll find that people will, when they're imposed upon, oppose whatever is taking place. So that's one of the most important things, is that let everybody know that they have a role in where our city goes. And I would also make sure that we have a respectable, functioning city government. One that people can believe in, and one that we make sure that community efforts succeed. And that requires a fair process all the way along, and making sure that the public has input, proper input. So as we grow together, we all know how we can play a role in that.
All right. Thank you all for participating in that. And hopefully the audience also enjoyed it. So that concludes the second round. And we will now move to our final, which is questions from the audience. Again, candidates will each have 30 seconds to answer the question, and we will continue this pattern as we did in the first round. I'll try my best to remember who starts, and you can always correct me. We have a few questions, and the first one deals with the internet. So many of you probably know, with soon, the Affordable Connectivity Program will end, And more than 13,000 households in Anchorage will lose access to the internet next month. This loss will impact children and their parents' ability to participate in education and so much more. This broadens the digital divide for so many families. What will you do as a mayor to work on the issue for hardworking, low-income families? And you did question five, so we actually will start with Chris first, and we'll continue around.
Okay, the last part of that was, as mayor, how could we make sure that low-income families can participate in a stronger education, if I paraphrase that right?
Yeah, how will you, as mayor, work on this issue of access to broadband when this program disappears because so many families depend on it to access various services or schooling from home, things of that nature?
Well, fortunately, we're going to have a lot of broadband investments coming in here to the state of Alaska. Anchorage is going to be able to participate on that. We need to make sure that if we cannot provide broadband services in someone's home, that at least they can go to a library and get really reliable broadband services there. Libraries offer so much more than just books. And so that's one of the components that we got to ensure. But as we go more and more digital, access is going to be really important.
It's 30 seconds. These ones are fast.
I messed that one up. Thank you very much.
No mess ups. All is good.
I mean,
but it is
timing.
Quick. Yes. All right. Dave?
Well, I'll speak fast.
thank you.
The marketplace normally can solve these kinds of things, but we know there are disadvantaged families that get caught up as the marketplace catches up. That's why I thought that making the library a safe place for young kids it was a good thing. That's why I've added another library downtown, is because that's a great place for kids and parents to go in and get that broadband or internet access that they need that they may not be able to afford at home.
I know, it's fast.
Yeah.
Bill?
You know, this is a real challenge because broadband is expensive in our city. I mean, when you look at the rates, they're tough. And we have to be, as mayor, advocates for new partnerships, working with the school district, working with the federal government, which is where a lot of this lies, but also working within the state. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska can work with and working with the private sector to figure out a solution of how we can fund, subsidize, whatever it is that we want to call it, that this critically needed service. If you're not on the web, you are disconnected from most of the economy and learning opportunities.
This is another example of the high cost of living here. And I agree that pursuing federal opportunities will be important. But as mayor, I believe that using the power to convene stakeholders and others in the industry to really, you know, take a look at what can we do? Are there some innovative ways that we can address this issue and increase access and affordability to folks who live here in Anchorage?
Fantastic. Team, can we actually increase it to 45 seconds? I feel like everybody needs a little bit more time, and I don't want to make it seem rushed, but also create the space to be able to ask those questions. So I appreciate you guys.
Less of a snippet, more of a snippet.
Yes, great way to put it, Bill. Thank you very much. Great. Thank you, team. All right. The next question is, finding safe and affordable, reliable childcare has been a struggle for parents across our city, as we know, the state and the nation. What is your plan to alleviate the childcare affordability and available challenges that so many of us face? And how can you support the business community, parents, children, and childcare providers' needs through your role? We'll start with you, Dave.
Great. Yeah, average childcare is about $1,200 a month per kid. We've come to the conclusion that, because my focus is municipal employees, mainly City Hall, because that's where the concentration of workers really is that could use that. We've been looking at trying to get a footprint within City Hall, restacking the building, creating a floor. The trouble came in with the outdoor space. We're required through licensing, both state and municipality-wise, to have an outdoor space. We can't get to that. We can't have them crossing the street. We looked at the playground on top of the parking lot on the other side. That wouldn't work. There's a lot of challenges. We looked at maybe contracting with corporate providers, but the access isn't there because the people aren't there, the workers. We don't have the daycare workers. It's a real challenge, but to get frankly, our young people back to work that have young kids, right. We need to provide that.
Thank you. Bill?
It's one of the bigger threats to our community because it is challenging more and more families in all income levels in terms of availability and affordability. I think we've got to start thinking outside the box a little bit. You know, I know that the Anchorage School District is dealing with a declining population. Mayor mentioned that we've got significant assets that are strategically located in neighborhoods across our city. And I think that there's been conversations that I'd like to see taken forward a little bit further about whether or not there is an ability for the school district to partner with private sector providers in a way that would allow for daycare facilities within portions of elementary schools, as an example, that would give opportunities for leveraging teachers into those schools by providing, you know, low-cost or free, even free daycare as an incentive to come to work for the school district, benefit municipal employees in the same hand, and also create capacity that will open up capacity across the city for the public.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks. This is such a huge issue for families and affordability. And, you know, the business model just doesn't work. When daycare providers increase their wages to be competitive, that gets pushed to families. And so we've got to have a different way of doing things. And we've got an opportunity with Prop 14 and the money from the cannabis tax revenues to invest that in solutions and come together to figure out better ways that we can offer high-quality childcare access to it to families. I think also some of the work we've seen at the state level provides some opportunity with the task force to connect with folks, with stakeholders in our community to potentially leverage funds from the federal government as well. But it's something where we've got to have all the stakeholders at the table, and we really need to be thinking of innovative ways.
Thank you. Chris.
Thank you. As a young single parent, Campfire was a rescue for me and my family. We had child care services before school started and then after school for when I was able to come pick up my son. And so that, I think that's a great example of what we heard earlier from Mayor and Bill and from Suzanne, is that, you know, we have the elements there that we can pull it all together. We got more revenue coming in from the marijuana tax. But that's a great use of our facilities. Our facilities should not only be for you know, from starting school and the last day of class ending. We can expand that. And that's a good example of the public partnership, public-private partnership already in place. When I got out of needing Campfire, I don't know how people behind me can afford it because it just keeps going up and up.
Right. Well, let's build off of this. Anchorage School District in September will be changing their school times. This is going to greatly impact the type and need for child care. Whether we're talking morning, the school is talking that there won't be service. Many Campfire and stuff can actually provide services for just 2 hours. Their system doesn't allow that. So how will, if you're mayor, your administration partner with the school district to really meet this need and talk about out of the box, not thinking childcare is 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. Many places are open after that, and those are the families that actually are more need of child care at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. How would you partner with either ESD or their community to really address those issues? And I believe we start with Bill with that.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, again, it comes back to, you know, what's been a running theme in tonight's answers is the fact that the mayor needs to convene key players in this question and in this need, and that includes parents, the Anchorage School District, the existing daycare providers, you know, the appropriate agencies that oversee the daycare system, and come up with some solutions that we can identify. And it's not going to be easy. There's nothing, you know, if it were easy, we'd have already done it. And it's going to be some hard work. And, you know, the marijuana funds that are coming towards that effort, the other funding sources that we can identify from other agencies, from third parties to bring to bear on this, in terms of trying to bring a cost, you know, bringing down the cost of daycare, it's all solutions on deck for consideration at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah, as this as the implementation date gets closer, I'm aware of how this is becoming more and more top of mind to parents, especially those of younger kids who are trying to figure out, you know, how are they going to do that and make sure that they've got childcare before and after school. And I think it does come down to convening stakeholders and having that conversation and being open to looking at, you know, what kinds of resources does the municipality have, and is there some resource alignment in the way that we can support parents and support the school district. And as mayor, I will work to have a good relationship, not just with the superintendent, but with the members of the school board and also members of the school district administration to ensure that we can really work together with members of the public to address these issues. Chris?
Yeah, for those school-age children, that partnership with Anchorage School District can be really important. But for those that are younger than that, you know, Credit Union One has a very good innovative program that they have for their employees. That should be the model that we look at in trying to provide for our municipal employees. And then we can share services and actually build other business partnerships to show them also. I mean, we have a workforce need right now, a huge demand for employees. And one of the hindrances is young children, for them to be able to enter back into the market or be able to really work the hours that's required of them. And so this is one key component, making sure we get the workforce back where we need it. Also, we need to allow some of our employees to work more from home, because that also helps out in a lot. So that reduces the need for the child care if we allow employees to work from home.
Thank you.
Dave?
Yeah, I think Bill touched on it very well. We've got a public school system, but we have the buildings. Right now, the public school administration, not the board, they've acknowledged last year we have 6 schools too many. Our money is going into the maintenance of buildings when it should be going into the classroom. Those excess buildings should come back and be programmed for daycare. I mean, they have the drop-offs. The driveways are made for drop, pickup, and drop-off. That really needs to happen. But in the near term, I'm still trying to figure out why they changed the report times of the school. If we made things worse, undo it. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's the school district. Their budget is $900 million. Ours is about $600 million. They're a different operation. You know, in the interest of advocating for things, ask the question, why did you make the change in the first place?
Well, we can actually talk about that because there's some actual science behind it. Thank you to the candidates and, most importantly, the audience for joining us. The ballots go out on March 12th, and the municipality election is on the 2nd of April. Your ballot will be sent to your voter registration address and can be mailed, deposited in a secure mailbox, or ballot box, I should say, stationed at many community locations, or vote in person early or on election day. Thank you, candidates, for spending this time with us and sharing your vision for Anchorage's children and youth. We can't forget, although children and youth can make up roughly 25% of our population, they are 100% of our future. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for joining us today for Addressing Alaskans. We just heard an Anchorage mayoral candidate forum presented by Alaska Children's Trust. Elections are Tuesday, April 2nd. Video of the entire forum is available on the Addressing Alaskans page. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.